limitless possibilities. Anything can be achieved. Anything can happen. Whatever you can believe God, you can dare God. I tell you, it's possible. God gave us this scripture, and it's from God. I know you're familiar with the scripture. Jeremiah chapter 32. The Bible says, then came the word of the Lord unto Jeremiah, saying, behold, I am the Lord, the God of all flesh. Is there anything too hard for me? That's the scripture we're going to refer to God. We're going to base our prayers on this whole month of October. He says, I am the God of all flesh. Hallelujah. He made us. We didn't make ourselves. We are his people. We are the sheep of his pasture. If God made me, he can create anything in me that is spoiled. He can replace anything in me that is damaged. If God made me, then he can give me whatever I need to exist. He can deal with any problem that comes my way to interfere with his plan for my life. Are you with me? You have to believe that this month God will reach out and show forth his glory in your life. In the name of Jesus. Last week I began a teaching on how to receive answers. How to receive answers to your prayers. Is that the thing for? How to receive God's promises. How to receive God's promises. Yeah. And one of the things that I said to do is to be conscious of the promises of God. You have to find out what you are promised in the scriptures. You have to know what he says about your health, what he says about prosperity, your well-being, what he says about your marriage, about your career, your children. You have to find in the scriptures his promises. You cannot claim promises that you are ignorant of. You have to know them, know that they exist. Any prayer that we pray, I said, that is contrary to what God has promised or what is in the word of God is never answered. That's why I said, when you pray that your neighbor will fall down and die, the prayer will never be answered. Because there's no promise in the Bible like that. That's why all these fall down and die, they don't work. Fire, come down, consume these people. It doesn't work. That's why your boss in your office, who is making life unbearable for you, that you've asked for fire on them, they're still strong and are still doing well. Because it doesn't correspond with the word of God. And when you go to Christian gathering, prayer meeting, you will see that a bunch of what we're praying does not line up with the word of God. They're African stuff, they are coming from traditional belief. I sat down somewhere, a lady sat in a place, and then I was coming to sit around there, and then she moved for me, and I sat down there, and the man of God touched me and said, oh, you never do that. You clean it first. I said, why? He said, the heat of her body can transfer into your body. I said, who? You know, I went to be with the pastor and I saw a prayer guide, you know, a prayer book. So I was looking through. And one of the prayer point is how to pray against retrogression. So the person was saying, when you dream, and you see yourself in your past, it's the spirit of retrogression that is following you. So when you dream and you see yourself, for instance, in your school days, I said, that's a lie. That's a complete lie. It's traditional, it's not scriptural. Am I speaking to you? So you have to understand the promises of God. The Bible says, this is the confidence that we have in Him, that whatsoever we ask for according to His will, He hears us. And if we know that He hears us, then we know that our petitions are granted of Him. Hallelujah. And I said, one of the things that you have to understand is how to tie the Old Testament with the New Testament. We are not Old Testament saints. We are New Testament believers. There are things of the old that don't apply in our time because Jesus has done away with them in redemption. Hallelujah. So you need to be able to look at, that's why if you don't understand the Bible, you know, so you need to be able to understand how the old was fulfilled in the new. What is done away with in the old does not apply anymore, and what it is now. For instance, Jesus says, you've heard of them of old. Thou shalt love your neighbor and hate your enemies. That is it in the Old Testament. If someone hates you, just hate him back. If someone is trying to kill you and you can kill him first, just kill him. Just kill him. But he says, but I say unto you, now, thou shalt love your enemies and pray for them that persecute you. You know, if you look through the teachings of Jesus, then you read through the writings of Paul and how he tries to compare the old and how it's been fulfilled in the new, you will enjoy your relationship with God. Hallelujah. So you hear Jesus, the Lord says, you've heard of them of old, but now. You've heard in old times, but now. He says what is the order then, and he says what is the order now. Are you listening to me? Don't confuse yourself. You know, and there's something I want to add to what I've started this week in order to help you see your prayers being fulfilled. And one of the things that you need to understand when it comes to prayer and going for what you believe is yours is never to see God as an unjust person. And I will explain that. God is not an unjust judge. Are you with me? God is not unjust. And Jesus, to explain to us God, gave us a parable in Luke chapter 18, verse 1 to 8. He says, and he spake a parable unto them to this end. He speaks of this parable because of what he's trying to explain to them in dealing with God. Hallelujah. So, is a reason why Jesus is sharing a parable. A parable is an earthly story that tries to explain spiritual things, tries to explain the ways of God. Jesus uses our mundane, our life experience to explain what it is in the spirit. So the Bible says, he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint. So the essence is to encourage you to pray and not to give up praying. Amen. Men ought always to pray and not to faint. And he says, there was in a city a judge which feared not God, neither regarded man. So the judge had two qualifications. He feared not God, and he has no regard for man. He feared not God and had no regard for man. And there was a widow in that city. And she came unto him saying, avenge me of mine adversary. She had these people that wouldn't let her leave. They take from her. They interrupt her life. They interfere with her joy, with her peace. They make life unbearable for her. And she's a widow. She had no husband to defend her. Amen. And she knew there was a judge who could help. He's so powerful. He can, just by the flip of the finger, make things happen. But then she knew that this guy is ungodly. He has no regard for God and no regard for anyone. All he thinks of is himself. There was a widow in the city. She came unto him saying, avenge me of my adversary. Please help me. I know you can. Please help me. Deliver me from these oppressors. Save me. Let me enjoy life. And he would not for a while. He didn't care. He refused. She would knock on the door. He would not open the door. He would hear the phone ring. He would look, and it would be her number. And he would not pick it. And she started to block her number. So the first time he didn't know she was the one, so he picked the phone and she was the one calling. So he dropped it, and from then he would never pick on a blocked number anymore. And it doesn't matter who it was coming from, because he avoided her completely. He didn't want to help her. He could if he wants to. But he didn't want to help. He had all it takes to reduce her suffering, but he won't do it for her because he has no regard for anyone. That was the kind of person the judge Jesus referred to was in this place. He would not for a while, but afterward he said to himself, though I fear not God, nor regard man, yet because this widow troubled me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming, she weary me. So she kept on coming, she kept on coming, she kept on knocking. He wouldn't listen, kept on asking, kept on ringing. She would ring him at 2 a.m., she would ring him at 4 a.m., she would ring him, at 6 a.m., He would just be arriving at his office and she would be there by the door waiting. If she trailed him, he would be hosting guests at the restaurant and she would show up. So she made life painful for him because of her continual asking. We call that importunity. She kept on and on and on. And then thought to himself, look, I can't take this anymore. I really need to just answer this woman and just get rid of her so that she does not wear me out. He wasn't doing what she said because he cared for her, because he wanted her to be free. But he was helping her as she has requested to get rid of her. Does that make sense? It was all about him. Is God like that? So, when you study this scripture, it's easy to think Jesus is asking you to treat God the way the widow treated this unjust judge. Because anytime we talked about the prayer of importunity, we say you need to keep asking, keep knocking. You need to bombard God, and someday God will just get fed up and just do it. But you have to understand that God is not like this unjust judge. The Bible says he is faithful and just. Hallelujah. Say, God, my God, is faithful and he is just. If you believe that, say amen. Amen. So, this is not what Jesus, you may have heard it in another way, but this is not the message Jesus was trying to preach. He was trying to teach about the power of prayer. So don't give up praying. Hallelujah. There is power in prayer. There is answer in prayer. There is victory in prayer. Don't give up. Don't tire with praying. Hallelujah. Don't ever be so weak that you cannot pray. Don't ever be so discouraged that you cannot pray. Things don't happen until we pray. Because prayer is the way we show our helplessness to God. Prayer is the way we show our trust in God. Prayer is the way that we open our lives and invite divinity to interfere with our own affairs here on earth. Amen and amen. Verse 6. And the Lord Jesus said, hear what the unjust judge saith. Hear what he says. I will just get rid of her. Just answer her and get rid of her so she doesn't wear me out. And Jesus says, shall not God avenge his own elect, which cried day and night unto him, though he bear long with them? Though he suffers long with them. You know, he says, look at this unjust judge. He eventually heard her prayer. What about God? How will God deal with you? Now, he says, God bears long with us. Hallelujah. God suffers long with us. You know, let me tell you, what the scripture is saying is that God, when it comes to paying you back, as a judge, to rewarding you according to your deed, is very, very long-suffering. The reason why some of you are still alive and are not dead is because God is bearing long with you, I tell you. Amen. When you pray, you say, God, show up in my life now. The reason why God did not show up now is because if he does, you die. If he comes, he will kill you. You cannot take him. If only, you know, a lot of times we are hypocritical, right? We show we are holy, we show we are really doing well. But if only God will open your eyes to see us, the real us, you'll be amazed. If not for his mercy, we would have all been consumed. But his mercies are renewed every morning. Every morning God renews his mercy. That's why he has not condemned you. That's why he does not judge you. That's why you are accepted. And God never condemns anyone. Do you know that? Hallelujah. He never condemns anyone. He never rules anyone out. He never disqualifies anyone. Never. He bears long with us. As a matter of fact, the Bible says the reason why Jesus has tarried in coming, you know, is because he is long-suffering. He's not slack. God is never slack. But he is long-suffering so that no one will perish. There are people that he's still waiting for them to find Jesus and be saved. And that's why he's still holding back. That's what the scripture says. But now, coming back, you know, when the scripture says, even though he bears long with them, it's not talking about God waiting until you keep on, you keep on, you keep on, you keep on, and you are almost tired. Then he just does it just to get rid. God is not an unkind God. He's not an inconsiderate God. And unlike this unjust judge, he never sleep nor slumber. He can never be tired. You can never wear God out. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Unlike the unjust judge, you cannot twist his arm and make him do anything. The Bible says he does everything after the counsel of his will. Let me tell you, no one can pressure God. God can never be under pressure. That he's asking you because he's under pressure. You have pressurized him such that he answers. Never. Amen. So Jesus says, and the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge said. And shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with them? Verse 8. I tell you that he will avenge them. Are you with your scriptures? What did he say? Everybody turn to Luke chapter 18. Please, if you've got an iPad or Bible, I want us all to be there. I read from the King James Version. Are you there? Okay, let's read verse 18. All of us are the same. They want to go. I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Amen. Just the A part of that. Let's read that scripture again. Want to go. I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. One more time. Let's read it again. I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Because God cares. God is interested in how you're doing. He's interested in what you're going through. So he will answer speedily. He wants to come for you speedily. Not like the unjust man who tarried until when he can bear it no more. God is not like that. Amen. But Jesus says, but there is a condition. You see, the reason why prayers are tarried is because sometimes we don't fulfill the condition. So he says, nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on earth. Now this woman, what he's saying, forget about the continual coming of that woman. It was triggered because of something. Her continual coming demonstrated something. What do you think it demonstrated? Faith. She had faith in the man's ability to help. She saw a man that could help. Even though he's not willing, but he has what it takes to help. He's the only one that can help her. That's why she didn't go elsewhere. She didn't try some other way. She kept coming and kept coming. It's indicated wanting. He has what it takes to set me free. Faith. Hallelujah. So when you come to God, are you sure? He has the ability to help you. Are you sure he can? Are you sure he would help you? Are you sure that what you are asking for is something that you think you deserve? Sometimes we pray, but we don't even believe that thing can happen to us. Faith. We don't believe that it can happen to us. So, you see, God came to Jeremiah and God introduced himself to Jeremiah. He says, Jeremiah, I am the Lord, the God of all flesh. I am the creator. I made all things that live, both invisible and visible. I am the Almighty God. Hallelujah. Then he asked him a question. Is there anything too hard for me? Now let me tell you something. Any area of your life that you limit God is the area that God cannot work for you. Am I speaking to you? Hey, am I speaking to you? Any area of your life that you consider it too hard for God is in that place that God cannot work. God doesn't need to prove himself to you. He is who he is. He doesn't do anything to prove himself, to showcase himself. He is God. Hallelujah. So for us covenant people, he shows up where there is faith. Faith in his ability. Faith in his word. This promise is for me. I deserve to receive this promise. I am worthy of it. You know, sometimes when you come to God, you know, and you start prayer this way, oh God, have mercy, I am wretched. Please, Lord, forgive me in case there's anything that is not working, that I've committed. I don't even know that I've committed that. It's a sin that is between me and you. Please, Lord, forgive me. You know, whenever you come into God that way, it shows you lack confidence. It shows you don't know your standing with God. It shows that your faith is shaky. The Bible says the righteous is as bold as a lion. As a matter of fact, the Bible says to come into the throne of grace in times of need with how? Boldness, that we may find grace, that we may find help. So we come to God with boldness, like we know he has the ability, and we in Christ Jesus deserve it. And the Bible says he will answer speedily. Praise the Lord. All through this month, I believe there are limitless possibilities. The gate of miracles, signs, and wonders are open for you. God will lift you up if you believe him. God will end your waiting if you believe him. God will end our waiting as a church if we believe him. God can exceed our expectations. And he's asking, is there anything too hard for me? How would you answer that? Stand to your feet. I want us to thank God together. I want us to pray together in one voice. As we thank God for the months that have passed, for all he has done, we are opening our lives for more. Because we know we serve a God of more. We serve the God of increase. In October, this is what I'd like you to believe God for. Please, I want to take note of that. The prayer guide will be available next Sunday, but it will be emailed to you either tomorrow or Tuesday. You'll receive it via email. If you don't get text messages from us and you don't get email from us, there will be a stand on your way out. Please and please, go and put your names, your email address, and your telephone numbers. There's a guy there, he's waving his hands. So you go there and put, so you can get emails and text messages. We're going to be texting, emailing you, everyone, the prayer guide, either tomorrow or on Tuesday. But there's this 6 things I wanted to believe God for. Number one, for God to show up in your life and in your situation to confirm his word, to fulfill his promises. Say amen to that. Amen. You're going to believe for the help of God where everything else has failed. You've tried so many things, but it's failed you. Now you're going to believe God there for help. And help will come. Before the month is over, in that place there will be help. They tell you that you cannot stay in the country. You cannot stay in the country. Oh, you can stay in the country. Yes. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. You can stay in the... Where is Auntie Nora? Auntie Nora is somewhere here. Where is Auntie Nora? Wave your hand. Wave your hand. Oh, she's not here today. You know, I just want to share a testimony of her son. an overage son who came to this country with a visiting visa that they told that you cannot go back. He's in the country now, having a status. Praise the Lord. I've been to someone who they've convicted and put in a prison before. And then when he came out of prison, they moved him to immigration center on the way to deportation. I visited him. I told him, don't worry, it's going to work out. Today he has indefinite leave to remain in the country. With God, all things are possible. Doctor said, you cannot have a child. Who said? Yesterday we were with a pastor who was married for 17 years. And God gave him twins. Twins. A boy and a girl. Without any doctor's infertilization and something like that. Are you listening to me? With God, all things are possible. Who says something and it comes to pass when God has not said it? So, you believe God for help where everything has failed. This month, God will showcase himself. Amen. Number three, for God to lift up all barriers and to speed up your expectations. Number four, that God will help you achieve in a very short time what appears as an enormous task. When you look at it, it's so big, it scares you. You finish that in a short time. Some of you who are building, this month there will be speed in your pre-building process. Number five, people that have written you off, you believe God. People that have written you off or have rejected you will come back looking for you. And number five or number six, finally, you believe God for restoration for what you thought is totally lost. The Lord God will restore it. Amen. Please hold someone. Hold someone's hand and say with me, we're praying this Thanksgiving prayer together. You just repeat after me. And we're praying. We're not just reciting, we're praying. Say, thank you, Lord, for your goodness in my life. Thank you, Lord, for your protection over my family. Can you close your eyes and just don't look? Just meditate. Concentrate on God, rather. Say with me, thank you, Lord, for seeing us through from the beginning of this year and for bringing us thus far. Say amen. Thank you, Lord, for helping me with my work. For everything, for every need you met in my life, and for every increase, I thank you. Say amen.